All right. And once again, we are so excited about everything we've been hearing, church. What great devotions and testimonies we've heard in the last few days from Brother Stephen Mantooth and from Sister White. We are still reeling in the spirit from the great and powerful things we've heard. And now we're going to be hearing from our very own Brother Donald Tulloch. We appreciate Brother Tulloch and his family. We appreciate his humble spirit that he has, and he also has been helping us tremendously with many things technical in the church, with our website. He helped put our website together. He's been helping us with our video streaming. We wouldn't be able to see all the great images in the live streaming we've been seeing without him and Brother Sean helping us. So we're very appreciative of Brother Donald Tulloch. And with that said, Brother Tulloch, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, sir.
All right. So, go ahead, Brother Tulloch. First of all, I have to say that I give much respect to our pastor and to all pastors, to all evangelists, to all preachers, to all teachers, because I've been a teacher for 22 years and I have not prepared as long as I have prepared for today, which is probably like 10 to 15 minutes of devotion. It is an honor to speak to all of you tonight. I'm humbled to be asked to speak to you. Well, this happened because last Wednesday after service, I stayed for food and fellowship and some planning for this Sunday with Pastor Sister Clark and some of our brothers. After a while, Pastor asked that I should speak to one of our devotions. And I thought, wow, I should have left early. Well, but seriously, I do take this as an honor to be able to speak to the saints of God, to the church. I give back the honor and respect to our pastor and our first lady of our church. I've had different pastors and first ladies in my life, but I must say that they're the best, not only spiritually, but in every aspect of who a pastor or first lady is. We love you, Pastor and Sister Clark. One preaching of our pastor lately that stuck with me was about the benefits of a Christian. It was meaningful to me because I've seen those benefits happen in my life. My life is certainly not a bed of roses, but through it all, the ups and the downs, I've seen him over and over again made a way. I will talk about part of my life which I hope and pray will bless somebody. Some of you may not know yet, but I was born and grew up in the Philippines. My family was invited to a Oneness Pentecostal church when I was 10 years old. I was baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost when I was 11. I was once a Bible quizzer for a church for 3 years when I was in high school. I grew up poor, and the situations I was in probably made me ambitious. Speaking of being poor, every time my kids would complain about minor stuff doing errands, I would always tell them, when I was a kid, the Jack and Jill song was literally what I've been doing when I was a kid. I would go up the hill to fetch a pail of water just to get a pail of water for maybe a drink, to wash dishes, and so on. And, of course, they laugh about it, and they would always say, yeah, yeah, yeah. When I was a kid, every time they would complain, I would always say that, and they know that line already. And I would sing to them the Jack and Jill song, because that was literally me going up the hill to fetch a pail of water. I did not stumble down, but I did went up a hill to fetch a pail of water. The desire to better my life and family grew stronger when I was about to graduate college. Without consulting my family, my pastor, and without prayer, I began to map out my future and how I can achieve my ambition. I lived in the northern part of the Philippines, a small city. In Manila, the capital of the Philippines, is about 152 miles south from where I lived. So the thinking then was, if you want to be successful, you need to go to Manila and find a job there and live and do whatever you can do to be successful. So just after graduation, I left home even when my family was discouraging me. I started my journey. I left my family, my church, and the place I grew up in. For the next 3 years, driven by my ambition to be successful, maybe to be rich, I transferred from one job to another job, then to another job. I probably have 4 different jobs with different companies or schools. I thought I have all the ingredients to be rich. I thought I have the brain. I thought in my mind I have the personality and the drive. I was attending less and less of church. I was doing less prayer within these 3 years. I saw that for these 3 years that I was going from one job to another job, trying to be successful, I was moving away, further away from church. I remember the phrase, chasing the wind. And I Googled this morning, and I saw chasing after wind. And it does have that phrase in the Bible, although it's in a different translation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, King James Version says, "Then I look on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored to, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." New Revised Standard Version of that says, "Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had spent in doing it. And again, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." So those 3 years that I was literally chasing after wind, I found myself empty. But I know that every day I have a mother that has been praying for me. I remember growing up, we have a small house in the family. As I told you earlier, I was poor. We have 2 bedrooms, and I can, every morning, every 4 a.m., I can hear my mom praying. I would hear her pray every morning, pray for every one of us. And those years that I was just going from one job to another job, and then I was attending church, but my spirit was not there. I was not praying. And the Sunday services that I attended was getting fewer and fewer. Back then, we don't have cell phones. We don't have social media. So from time to time, I would call mom, and she would always remind me to go to church. She doesn't know that I'm not faithful, but she would always say, "I'm praying for you. You need to go to church. Christ is coming." Yes, my mom is 150 miles away from me, but every time I hear her voice, I could feel the Holy Ghost. One day after work, I went to my room. Now, in Manila, if you're single, we rent a room with someone else. So it's like a dormitory with a common bathroom and kitchen. I was sharing a room with someone else. So after work, my roommate was not there. And I just sat down on my bed, and I was crying. I didn't know why I was crying, but I felt the Holy Ghost. And he was talking in tongues. I was trying not to cry as loud or not to speak in tongues as loud because I was ashamed, or I was afraid that other people in the dorm will hear me. But I just cried. I don't know. There was no reason, but I was crying. And I feel the Holy Ghost. He was speaking in tongues. But I know because my mom was praying for me every morning. She does not know what I was doing, but God knows. Because of her prayer, God was reaching to me. You might think that you can hide from the Lord. And I'm praying to young people who think that, they think they've got this, that they can live their own life and they can just do their own thing away from their family, away from God, away from church, away from their loved ones. The farther you get away from your family, from your church, from your pastor, with your praying mom, with your praying dad, with your praying aunt, God will draw near, will get closer to you. So, in 1997, I went back home to my family, and that night on my bed I prayed to the Lord. Lord, I want to go back. I want to rededicate my life to you. My mom doesn't know that I was praying that night, but I told the Lord, but Lord, please, give me a girlfriend that's a Christian. Give me someone who's in the church. I don't know why I said that, but I did say that. And, of course, that year, that's when I also got to know Sister Esther, who is my wife right now. And since then, I've rededicated my life back to the Lord. I'm not perfect, but I thank God for His mercy and for His grace. The world has this saying that says behind every successful man is a strong woman. But I would say that behind every godly man is a godly woman. I would say that my wife has brought me back to the Lord. And I can also say that behind every godly son is a praying mom. And I just want to encourage all moms, all titas, all grandmothers, continue praying for children. So I was not successful. I still, those 3 years that I was chasing after the wind was not successful. We got married. We have Xavier. We have Naomi. Life went on. We obviously were in church. Little did I know that God has a different plan for me. I never planned to live or migrate or immigrate in the United States and work here. But looking back, the thought or my ambition of becoming a successful person with my own way, with my own path, with my own finite mind, it's worthless, it's useless. And looking back, God has planned my path. He closed door after door after door. I applied to this company, to this company, to this company, thinking that probably this is the company that will open me to better life, and this company will. I literally applied to almost all kinds of jobs, but I saw God's hand looking back, that God closed some doors because He knew He had a better plan. And so 2005, after a long wait, I did apply to become a teacher here in the United States. And to make the long story short, I came here, and then 2006, I brought my family here. And thank God that after all these years, God's still merciful. That through it all, God has a hand upon me in spite of my unfaithfulness. Despite being stubborn, but I thank God that, again, He's so merciful that in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, in spite of our stubbornness, He's still there for us. All right, that's all, Brother Vic, and thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tulok. Thank you so much, Church. I know that you felt the anointing as Brother Tulok was speaking. And again, this is the reason why we do these testimonies on Saturday nights. We want everyone to hear from our people and the great things that have taken place in their life. Thank God for a praying mother, and thank God for a godly woman, and thank God for a good man like Brother Tulok. Thank you once again, Brother Tulok.
Brother Vic.
With that said, yes, sir.
Brother Vic. Is Brother Tulok still on the line?
I believe he is. Brother Tulok?
Hello, can you hear me?
Brother Tulok, can you hear me? This is Brother Clark. Can you hear me, Brother Tulok?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to tell you that your devotion was a blessing. It was tremendous. And we just want you to know that we love you and your family, and we're really, really proud of you. You are a blessing to the people here in Ontario. God bless you.
Praise
thank
God.
You, Pastor.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Brother Tulok. Again, this is tremendous, Church. This is why we do this. And next, we do have someone else that's going to be giving a testimony, and we hope that Sister Marilee is ready. I know that she was excited when I spoke to her about this last night, and I believe she is on the line. Sister Marilee, are you on the line now?
Yes, I am here.
Excellent, excellent. And go ahead and feel free to speak up tonight, Sister Marilee. I know when I spoke to her last night, she said, Brother Vic, I do have some things I want to share with the church. And so with that said, I'm going to turn it over now to Sister Marilee. Go right ahead, Sister Marilee.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, Church. When I was asked to share my testimony, I began to think of all the things that the Lord has done for me. I can testify about all the things that the Lord has delivered me from, and I can tell you about the dream that the Lord gave me before my son was born. I can tell you how He gave me such a wonderful grandmother who taught me to always put God first. But today, I want to talk about my current testimony, the one that I started reciting in my car one day. And when I caught myself, I said, oh, no, Lord, you're not going to make me talk. You know how shy I am. But this is my story, And I know that he has been prepping me, and he has been wanting me to share my story for quite a while now. So I was married to a U.S. Marine who had done 2 rounds of Iraq. He was battling PTSD from war and also his childhood. His childhood was a war zone in itself. It was filled with neglect and trauma. Fast forward to me, and I also grew up with a mother battling her bitterness and anger, and I was her punching bag when she raged. In my home, the words, "I love you," were not, it's not something that we heard from our parents. Hugs were given on special occasions. But I'm so thankful that my grandma was always giving us hugs and always giving us love and always praying for us. So here we are. Here we were, two conflicted people. We both knew that we loved each other very, very much, and we loved our son. We wanted the best for him. And my husband loved the Lord. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, and at one time he was attending Truth Church on his own. And I was battling myself at the time, but I was still praying that he would get the Holy Ghost. But a lot of things changed in the blink of an eye. A few years ago, his doctor suggested that he'd go to a program where she guaranteed that he would change and that his PTSD would be cured. I was skeptical, but I followed along with her orders, and he went off to a live-in program in San Diego for 6 months. It was there that he decided that he no longer wanted his family. I know that many things happened in that place, and many wounds were reopened. When he came out, I didn't know him at all. He was full of rage, anger, and addictions. He didn't even want to believe that there is a God anymore. So we separated, and he left me with my parents, which was an equally toxic environment for my son and I. Things really got bad in that house, and I clearly remember the night that I prayed and I asked the Lord to please get me out of my parents' house. But I was thinking it was going to be on my time, and little did I know that I did not realize it was going to happen really fast, and he did. It wasn't pretty, but I had to leave and find a place to live within about 24 hours. Me and my son packed our stuff and had to find a place to live. When this happened, I remember crying out to the Lord, and I was really honest, and I told him how afraid I was. I had no money since I was a substitute teacher, and during the summers we don't get paid, and so this was during the summer and I wasn't working, and so I also had started graduate school, and so I was in the beginning stages of my program, so I was even contemplating on quitting school. And although I wanted to ask people for help, I was taught not to. I had to deal with what I'm given. But, oh, there's a Lord that is so good. As I weep and I told him my fears, I heard that soft whisper, and it was clear. And he said, "My hand is upon you." And it has been. The Lord surrounded me with friends and people who I didn't even expect, who helped me all along the way. My friend let me stay with her. She is a non-believer, but I know that Josh and I have been planting seeds in her heart. I also finished graduate school three weeks ago. God put the possible in impossible for me. This journey has been extremely difficult. I have done most of this by myself. But I'm so thankful for the people that He has placed in my life, for my church, who has been here for me and has helped me tremendously. I've learned to ask for help. I've learned to live with less. I've learned to lean on Him more than ever before. He is my husband. He is my mother. And He is my father. I want to thank all of you who have prayed for us and for my family. I'm so grateful for my church, pastor's wife, for every gift that has been given to me and Joshua. Thank you so much. And for every single mom out there, I encourage you to keep moving forward with a smile and thanksgiving. You are so strong. To be a mom and a dad is tough. But lift up your kids with words of life. I know that it's not always easy. Sometimes we get frustrated with our kids or with life. But He will get us through this. I never imagined my life as a single mother. I love my husband. I love my marriage. I wholeheartedly believe that my marriage would work out. However, in this very moment, the Lord has different plans for me. In moments like this pandemic, it is easy to feel lonely, but this is the time to pray harder, to worship more, and to hold His hand tighter. I am so grateful and so blessed that God chose me to take this path. I have a lot of compassion, even more so than before. And I am so grateful for every single thing that I have, from the clothes on my back, to the food on my plate, to my shelter. I am so thankful. The enemy thought that he could throw darts at me. He thought that he could bring me down. And yes, there were so many days where I cried, and I cried out to God. But what he didn't know is that he pushed me towards the Lord, and I'm getting stronger. I am still a work in progress, and there's a lot of healing that still needs to take place. But I am confident that I will get through this. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Marilyn. Thank you so much for all of these heartfelt words. And you know, thank you for opening up with so many personal things in your life. But we want you to know, and we want all of our single mothers to know, we are part of the family of God. And this family is going to offer the support and the unity that all of us need. So we love you. We love all of our single moms. We love all of our kids. We're all part of the family of God. Church, why don't we just right now take a moment and thank God for what we've heard. We've heard a lot of personal things. Why don't we just take this to the Lord and ask the Lord to continue to help us with all of our needs, everything that we're going through. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Sister Marilyn. We thank you for Brother Tulak. We thank you for everyone else, Lord God, that is going through some trials, some tribulation in their lives, Lord Jesus. We're asking you, Lord God, to continue to keep us safe, Lord God. Keep our minds, Lord. Keep our hearts in the right place, Lord God. And help us to remember that we're part of your family, Lord Jesus. And you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Church, we want to remind everyone, we're going to be continuing these Saturday testimony devotions in weeks to come. So be ready. We already have some people lined up for next Saturday. So what you've heard tonight, take it to heart and start making notes, because we will be calling upon you. Praise God. Once again, we want to remind you, tomorrow morning is our Sunday morning service. It is our Mother's Day parking lot service. It will begin at 10 a.m. So we look forward to seeing everyone there. God bless all of you. Have a good night.